Spirit of the living God. Holy Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on this body of Christ. Oh dear, marvelous, holy, wonderful God, you are awesome. You're beyond comprehension, Father, yet you have made it your purpose, O Father, to reveal yourself to your church, to the world that we live in. You, O Father, describe yourself as the bread of life, as living water, as a bread come down from heaven to feed humanity. You, O Father, are the bread that sustains us. You are the light in the midst of the darkness. You are the means whereby we might be found. For apart from you, O God, we are lost. You give us of your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ Himself. And, oh, Father, your word says that He groans, Father, with words deeper than the words that we can even utter. As the Spirit of the living God professes those words to you, oh, Father, they come in the language that you understand, for you know the mind of the Spirit. And so, oh, God, I bless your name. I pray, oh God, for the difficult times that we live in. Hallowed be thy name. I pray thy kingdom would come. Oh Christ, come quickly. You have said, oh Father, that in the times that we are in, we are to be alert. We are to be ready, oh Father. And that we are to pray. So, oh God, I pray, because you have commanded us, but even more so, Father, I pray out of the relationship that we have in Jesus Christ. For it is by your Spirit that we can proclaim, Abba, Father, Pater, come. And so, oh God, I come now in Jesus' name. I lift up, Father, particularly the families of those, Father, who lost loved ones this week in Aurora, Colorado. Oh, Father, evil that has its way destroys. May our prayers, oh God, be prayers of light in the midst of darkness, to light the way to those who grieve. For you have even said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Father, if we have eyes to see, what happened this week is not an isolated incident, but it's happening all over our world. Father, I pray you would strengthen your church. By your word, O God, you say, ask and we shall receive. You say, keep on asking. So, O Holy Spirit, loose yourself. Set us free from the captivities that bind us. From shame. From brokenness. Oh God, He is our Redeemer and He lives. So, oh Father, I pray for the conviction of sin and unbelief. but it is in the conviction of sin, O Father, that we have freedom. It is in humbling ourselves before you, O God, the mighty God, in taking on your yoke, O Father, that we find rest for our souls. May we know the joy of humbling ourselves before the only begotten, that he might lift us up. I pray, O Father, for our children and our youth. It is my prayer in Jesus' name that this next week would be a week of defining moments, that it would be a week filled with the Spirit of God moving in the hearts of our children and our youth. God, I believe with all my heart that you have called our youth to be leaders, God, spiritual leaders in a dark world. With all of my heart, I believe, O Father, that they are not to follow the darkness, but to follow the light, that others would follow them, Father, to you. So I pray in Jesus' name for the pouring out of your Holy Spirit this week. You said, O Father, that if we have prayer, prayer is a mustard seed, we can move a mountain. So, Holy Spirit, where our faith is weak, strengthen it that our youth, O God, might be the Daniels of tomorrow. Yeah. And give you praise and glory and honor and hallelujahs. Because you are good. This prayer is offered in your holy name, Jesus. Amen. All God's people said, Amen. The Word of God says that our prayers are enabled by the Spirit, and also is our worship. So I thank the worship team for helping us worship today. Wallace, I thank you for that piano. Where'd Wallace go? He just walked back. Y'all tell Wallace what I said. Okay, we have the privilege. I mean, the absolute privilege to open the Word of God today. The 8th chapter of Romans, and it's a blessing. It is an absolute blessing to me to study this week on the topic, the third sermon in this series on prayer. And today, what I've said is I've talked to you about how our prayer, how God responding to in the world that we live in is immediately and inseparably connected with our prayers. And he says, ask and it shall be given. There's a connection there. And so much so that when we don't ask, then there's not a divine response. Now, and I've said this before, that doesn't mean that God can't work, because God is God. I've quoted E.M. Bounds' statement on the law of prayer says, God is God. The law of prayer recognizes God is God and depends upon him to do for them what God would not do without prayer. The law of prayer recognizes God is God and depends upon him to do for them what God would not do without prayer. And so the thought in the teaching of E.M. Bounds, one of the classics on prayer, is that your prayers and my prayers directly affect the world we live in, such that if you don't pray them, then God is limited in what he can do. God is limited by our prayers, not because he doesn't have the power, but he chooses to do that. He chooses to do that to reveal himself to humanity. And so today, what I want to talk about specifically is the role of the Holy Spirit. And this is not a message on the Holy Spirit, But it's a message. It's a role. It's a message about what his role is when we pray. You know, because to me, if E.M. Bounds' law is correct, and I frankly, there is scripture passage after scripture passage that I think supports his law of prayer. If E.M. Bounds' law is correct, then we would expect God to help us sort of along the way. If he's a God of love, he's a God of great power, who has chosen to obligate himself to our prayers. Okay? Chosen to obligate ourselves, himself to our prayers. And I'll talk about that in a minute, but he's chosen to do that. Then if he truly is a God of love, then, hey, can't you give me a little help here? You know, give me a little help here, God, and help me affect what you want to do in the lives of people. And so, Debbie and I were talking about this past week, and, because see, the dilemma we run into is, for example, just take what happened this past week on Thursday. I think it was Wednesday night, in the shooting in Aurora. You know, because we said, okay, what does that mean? Why, that is such a horrible thing. Where was God in that? It's the same question that had been asked, for example, with Columbine. Where was God in Columbine? And so, you know, and that question was asked of Ruth Graham, what's her name? Ann Graham Lotz. Ann Graham Lotz, and she was on national TV, and I hope I'll have this quote close. Said, where was God in Columbine? And she said something like, where was God? Well, God was where we moved him to. We push God away. We don't let God in our schools. We rarely let God in anything. Where was God? God was where we put him. We limit God. We don't let, you know, how is it possible that God describes himself as light and you and I are light, okay? And he describes the world as darkness, okay? You know, darkness is there's really no such thing as darkness. Because darkness is only the absence of light. Remove the light and you have darkness, okay? So when you remove God and you push him to the side, and we refuse to come to God and acknowledge him as God, then darkness is going to be the consequence because the light has been removed, okay? And something else that we have to understand is when you open the door to darkness, we open the door to darkness, darkness is going to have its way. You open the door to darkness and darkness will find its evil. It will find the deepest, it's like water, you know, it's like water finds the lowest spot. Darkness and evil finds the lowest spot in humanity. And so, you know, Debbie and I were talking, did the church have an impact? Or was the church responsible for what happened? How could the church be responsible, see? If the law of prayer is true, and if the scripture says, church, ask, and you will receive, and we don't ask, and that means we don't pray light into the darkness, so the darkness gets darker, somehow the church has a responsibility, an indirect, perhaps, but there's a cause and effect relationship to prayer. And so, because of that cause and effect relationship, God does mighty things. You say, well, then that, you know, then prayer becomes a work. In other words, are you telling me that I just got to work, pray? Well, no, I'm not saying that, but yeah, I am saying that. But what I'm saying is we are not under law. That's what the scripture says. We're not under law. We're under grace. If I'm under grace, that means that when it comes to prayer, something different should motivate my heart. Something different should motivate my heart other than the law. Okay? Something different should motivate my heart other than the law. Okay? Let me show you what scripture says should be the motivation of your heart to pray. Look at the 8th chapter of Romans. We're going to look at verse 15. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear. You know what he's saying? I don't want you to think that you got to pray out of fear of what's going to happen to you or even what's going to happen to someone else. That is a spirit that leads to slavery. Okay? God, we are not subject to the law. Okay? God doesn't want us to pray because we have to. God wants us to pray because we want to. Okay? That's what it's like, you know, think about it. You know, if all we got out of this sermon series on prayer was, you know, okay, I'm gonna pray from this time to this time, this time to this time. You know what? We're not really making any progress at all. No, it's because what God, you know what prayer is? What prayer does? Prayer changes the prayer. The real result, what ought to motivate our prayers is the fact that prayer changes the prayer from the inside out. Because prayer is a direct connection with God Himself. It is a line. You are directly connected with God through prayer. He says, look at Romans 8. Here's what ought to motivate us. Verse 15. You have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Okay? What is he saying? He's saying, here's what ought to motivate us to pray. It is because God is in his spirit, crying out within you, Abba, Father, Daddy. Do you know who first, where the phrase Abba, Father was first, written in Scripture? Who first said that? Jesus said it in the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross, Jesus says it in Mark 14, 36. Listen to what he says. And he was saying, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. When Jesus was praying that prayer, that God his Father, his Abba Pater, his Father God, Abba is Aramaic for daddy. Pater is Greek for father. Okay? It's like he's saying Father God or Daddy God. It's like Jesus is crying out from the depths of his heart to his Father. Okay? There is a connection there. A connection there that is between the Father and the Son, and because of that connection, that is how and why Jesus is crying out. In Galatians 4:6, the Apostle Paul puts it this way. He says, Because you are sons, if you place your faith in Jesus Christ, the Scripture says you are a son of God. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. God has sent His Holy Spirit into your heart. Okay, now are you with me here? That means whether you've been a believer in Jesus Christ for one day, 1 minute, or 70 years, if you have the Spirit of God in you, God has given you everything you need to cry to Him as if He were your literal daddy. Loving daddy. And Christ is our model. Look at the 9th verse of the 8th chapter. Here's what he says there. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. Okay? So that in terms of prayer is first of all the relationship. It is a love relationship that is described by God the Father as a belonging. And in fact, in Scripture, what you find is this. You find the relationship of the church to Jesus Christ being described as a marriage. The church is described as the bride of Christ. In Ephesians 5, the scripture says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might present her to himself as holy and blameless. The church is his bride. If the church is his bride and if the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, that relationship that he is describing is likened to a marriage relationship. A loving marriage relationship of belonging. Okay? This is my wife. She belongs to me. She belongs to me. She's mine. And you know what? I belong to her. And you know what that means? That means for richer or poor. That means for better or worse. That means in good times and bad times. Hey, I'm going to shelter her. I'm going to take care of her. I'm going to love her. And she's going to do the same to me. Because we belong to each other. See? And so prayer, he says, you belong to God. And so what ought to motivate us to pray is the sense of belonging, that he is your daddy. Prayer is not something you're supposed to do, but something you want to do. He says in Galatians 5:18, if you are led by the Spirit of God, then you are not under law, but under grace. He said, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Maybe you're saying something like this, Pastor Skip. Okay, you know, I understand love relationship and you know, I understand that Christ came to give us a relationship with God, okay? He came to give us a relationship. All right? That is so good. It is nothing the world can offer you. I am telling you, it is nothing that the world can offer you that will equal what Christ will offer you. Nothing. And here's what we think. When it comes to prayer, here's what the scripture says. How necessary is prayer? For example, these are some verses we've looked at in prior weeks. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and you will receive. Boom, that's it. In fact, the literal, if you were to translate that into the Greek, it would be, keep on asking and you will receive. Keep on asking and you will receive. In James chapter 4 verse 2, he says, you do not have because you do not ask. In a minute, I've got like 24 separate scripture passages that I will read to you where in the scripture, what it does is God tells people to pray for certain things in order that he might be released to do something. In fact, it's so interesting to me because E.M. Bounds says that our prayers put God to work. Put God to work? I never thought about it that way. What do you mean I put God to work? Well, you know what? If God's chosen to tell you and to tell me that he will respond when you pray, that would be a correct description, see? It would be correct. But the problem, see, our problem is, I don't know, maybe we not quite understand the relationship aspect of God. Or maybe there's some hindrance to us, to our prayers. Maybe we don't know how to pray. You know, maybe you don't know what to pray for. You know, some people say, I've heard people say, you know, Pastor, God's got more important things to worry about than my little old stuff. You know, he's got all, you know, you got people who got cancer and, you know, got this guy, that, you know, God's got a lot more important things than want to hear from me. You know, God, you know, I'm just a number. I'm just, you know, I can't be that important to God. So, you know what? Do you know what that does? That's like creates confusion. Creates confusion in your mind about what does it really mean to be a son of God? What does it really mean? Okay? And what does it really mean if I'm a son of God and he tells me I'm to ask so that I will receive? Okay? Because then I say, well, am I supposed to use big words? Am I supposed to, how do I do this? You know, it's, you know the amazing thing I think? Look here. Look at this. Look at the 26th verse. Look at what he says in the 26th verse of chapter 8. Here's what he says there. And in the same way, the Spirit, that would be the Holy Spirit, also helps our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray as we should. We do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. It says that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Now, what kind of weaknesses might we have? Well, one would be this, that, I just don't quite have the faith to believe that God's going to answer my prayer. Maybe it's because I'm a sinner. You know, maybe it's because I've walked outside of God's will, and because I've walked outside of God's will, then God's not going to hear me. You know what? The problem with that interpretation, that view is, you're pretty much going to stay outside of a relationship with God. And you won't voice a prayer. And the prayer is exactly what will cause you to come back. You realize that your prayers and my prayers are what keeps people from backsliding. Do you realize that your prayers and my prayers are what actually saves lost people? I'm going to show you in a minute. I'll give you a verse. I'll give it to you. So if you don't pray, just take Aurora. Suppose the church of Jesus Christ has sort of lost its way. See, you know, it's like the church at Laodicea sort of lost its way. You know, in fact, Andrew Murray, here's what Andrew Murray says about the role of prayer in the church. Here's what he says. He says, and this is he's a 19th century pastor, preacher, teacher. He wrote over 240 books. And he was from South Africa. Here's what he says. Christ actually meant prayer to be the greatest, to be the great power by which his church should do its work. And the neglect of prayer is a great reason the church has not greater power or influence in the world. Well, suppose the 21st century church has lost its way. And instead of trusting in the power of God and His Spirit to change lives, to transform people, what, let's suppose, the church has started trusting in is... that right there. Technology. Oh, man, we got the best stuff. I tell you one thing. You know the only Sunday that I really worry around here is when Dennis Allen's not around. Because he's the only one who knows how to get this stuff to work. You know what I'm saying here? See, the church can lose its way when we begin to believe that it's the technology that reaches people or the great singers. The great instrumentalist. Okay, if we just have the best worship team around, we'll get people to come listen to the worship music. And something we got to remember, see, is the scripture says, unless the Lord builds a house, its laborers labor in vain. Unless the Lord builds a house. The Lord doesn't build a house without prayer. For example, think about it. Anybody got one of those little bookmarks with a kid's name on it? Okay, let's see. Let's see who's going to get prayed for. Look at that, Miss Catherine Carmet. Okay, see, here's the way it works. With prayer, what God says is, you get your bookmark. And this next week, what you do is you pray for the child who's on that bookmark. And you know what God says will happen? When you pray, His Holy Spirit will be loosed to go touch the heart of the person on this card. Now, does that mean that this person on this card is going to say yes when God knocks on the door? No, it doesn't mean that. But I'll tell you one thing. She's got to have the opportunity. And the way God has chosen to do it is He's chosen to move in response to your prayers. Okay, so for example. Okay, let's see. Generation Hope, you guys going to Frederick? Well, y'all stand up just for a minute. Okay, here's what we do. You go to Frederick, you got a choice to make. You can be the best mission team ever sent on behalf of this church. And you can start the day out just knowing what the program is, knowing what the plan is. You've rehearsed it. You got it all down pat. You got all the equipment you need. You are ready to go have a great time for the Lord. But don't bathe it in prayer. And you know what? Unless the Lord builds a house, you labor in vain. So prayer, it's like you're deciding whether you're going to eat for the day. When it comes to what God has chosen to do through prayer, okay? Dennis, hey, start them out 30 minutes early with prayer. There'll be some things happening. And we say, well, okay, you got my point. There we go. Y'all can sit down. There is a cause and effect relationship. That cause and effect relationship is so connected that God has given us His Holy Spirit. He's given His Holy Spirit by which we will cry out, Abba, Father. It is by the Holy Spirit that is the only means that we can cry out, Abba, Father. Okay, let me show you this. Because see, let's suppose you decide to pray, but you're just really not so sure your prayer is going to be heard. Okay, that would be a weakness for sure. Okay, if I don't have the faith to pray, that's a weakness. Okay, and so what does God want to do to help us with that weakness? Okay, listen to how God has chosen to obligate Himself. Listen to these passages. Hebrews 11:6 says this. And this is just the ones in the New Testament. And this is not even all of them. Here's what he says. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and He rewards those who seek Him. John 16:24, until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive. Notice that. Ask and you will receive. So that your joy may be full. Ask and receive so that your joy may be full. You know what that means? You know what? I told you that prayer foundationally is about the relationship and that God didn't want us to pray because we got to, because we have to. He wants to pray because we want to. You know what this Bible is all about? This is about God's revelation of Himself. That's what this book is. It's about God's revelation of Himself. And do you realize what it's filled with? It's filled with example after example of people praying and God responding to what that prayer is. See, when he says he wants your joy to be full, you know what that means? Why does he want you to pray? God wants to show you who he is. That's what prayer is all about. It's about God showing you who he is. John 14, verse 3. Okay, we together? John 14, whatever you ask, I know you guys probably thinking, oh man, I better not say no. Okay, so John 14, verse 13 says, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So that the Father may be glorified. That means that God wants to do this so that you will know Him. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And I know what some of us are thinking. I thought about it as I was reading the passage. You know, what about this time, God, when I asked you to do such and such and it didn't happen that way? Well, we'll talk about that soon, okay? Okay, not now. We're going to talk about God's will. But can't do it today. Don't have enough time. John 15:7, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. You know, it's like, as a child of God, okay? We got to get that in our heads first. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. So what do I want? What do I want? Okay? What I want? Don't get messed up about, you know, the luxuries and the needs. Now, don't go there. Just, what do you want? Because he says, what he wants is your wishing to bear fruit in prayers out of your lips. He doesn't want you wanting to be something that motivates you to figure out how you're going to do it. That doesn't mean that he wants you to sit around on the floor and twiddle your thumbs, but he wants to be involved in that. John 15:7, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish, it shall be done for you. John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Over and over. It's like, you know, if he just told us that one time, we might say, oh, well, you know, it must have been a slip up. He's got it all over his word. Matthew 21. Jesus answered and he said to them, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree which withered, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will happen, and all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Why does he want us to pray? He wants us to exercise that faith like a muscle, so that it gets stronger and stronger. And how does it get stronger and stronger? But you pray, not for just the big things, the little things. You pray, and you ask God, and you watch. You know what I found myself doing? Oh, woof, woof. I found myself, I'll pray for something. And you know, when I've prayed for it, it's like I'll be just thinking about it. I'll be going about my day, and I know I prayed about such and such, and next thing you know, boom. And I'll think, I just prayed about that. And you know what happens then? I get this warm feeling all in me. It's like, God loves me. He loves me. Why does he tell you to pray? Why does he say, ask and you will receive? Because he loves you. And this Holy Spirit business, you know what the role of the Holy Spirit is? He's your intercessor. You know, he says, I will help you in your weakness. Okay, so you don't know how to pray? Do you know how to talk? Do you think? Okay, if you think, then hey, you know what? The Holy Spirit, if you have the Spirit of Christ in you, then you have the same power that everyone else has because you have the Spirit. And Romans 8:26 says that he has given the Spirit to us to help us in our weaknesses. He is an intercessor. Let me tell you what an intercessor is. Lori, you up here talking about kids' son? She was an intercessor. Yeah, because you know what she did? She pleaded. She was pleading with you on behalf of Kid Shine. Do you realize that that's what the Holy Spirit will do for you? Plead with you before the Father? That's exactly what that means. Here's what the Holy Spirit's like. The first time I went to South Korea, I went because I was going to preach a revival, okay? An American preacher going to preach a revival to Korean-speaking people, okay? How in the world is that going to happen? You got to have a translator, okay? And so here's the way it would work. What would work is, and I tell you, you talk about a blessed experience. Okay, here's the way it worked. I'm standing up here. I'll stand up here, and I'm preaching away, and I'll preach one sentence, and a translator standing right beside me will then say the same thing I just said. Okay? I'll say a thing and say a sentence. Translator says so. You know what the Holy Spirit's like? You see, because there's no way for me to communicate in Korean. I don't know that language. Okay? I got a translator. And the translator can take my words in English and put them in Korean so that the people can hear them. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. He intercedes for you before the Father. When the text says, with groans deeper than words, that's what the Holy Spirit's doing for you. He's translating what you need and want and God's will, and he's translating it in God's language. Suppose when I went to Korea, translator standing right beside me,
And I never opened my mouth. I just... You know some of our prayers like that? Because we don't utter them. If the prayer is not uttered, there's nothing for the translator to translate. You with me? His last point. Okay, do you realize that right now, the people in the nursery can hear my voice? All the way at the other end of the building. You know why? Because I got a microphone on. I got the switch turned on. It's connecting to the board in the back. It's going through wires all the way back to the back of the building. And there's a speaker in that nursery room. So if they're back there working right now and they got the volume turned up just a little bit, then what can happen is they will hear every single word I say. But you know what? Suppose I turn... Then they will hear me again. Do you realize the Holy Spirit is your microphone to God? If the Spirit of Christ is in you, you have a microphone in the throne room of God. Now, whether or not you turn the switch on, whether or not you believe God enough to turn the switch on, that's your call. But it doesn't mean the power is not there. The power is there. Do you realize that when I stand up on a Sunday morning to preach, that it is your prayers that become the power by which I utter the word of God. Because God lives in me and I got the microphone turned on. What God has also done is He's going to multiply the power through your prayers. So why should you pray? It's like a no-brainer to God's people. You want a microphone to God? Get on your knees and pray. And you say, well, I don't know how. Get on your knees and say, Spirit of God, help me. Because it doesn't make any difference how well you know God or how little you know God. You got the same Spirit that I got. There's no difference. Specific things you say, I don't know what to ask him for. Let me just show you. Just let me 2 seconds. Here's what he says. Romans 8:26 says you're to pray for your weaknesses. Wherever you're weak, you're supposed to pray for that. In John 14, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. You want to know God? The Spirit, the Word of God says, pray for Him. Pray that God will give you more of Himself. For people to receive spiritual healing. You got nieces, nephews, grandsons. You got friends who need to have spiritual healing in their lives. What do you do about that? You pray about it. John 42:7, that's exactly what happens. In Exodus 3:8, the Jews prayed for release from their Egyptian captivity. God granted it to them. In Daniel 9, the second verse, the Jews prayed, Daniel prayed for release of the Jews from Babylonian captivity, and God gave it to them. In Luke chapter 10, verse 2, the scripture says that we are to pray for laborers for God's harvest. You know what that means? That means that the number of people who are willing to serve in this church is dependent upon your prayers asking God to send us laborers. Go figure that. 2 Chronicles 7:14, that God will heal the land. Matthew 6, that God's kingdom will come. That means that Jesus will come back soon. Psalms 127, that the Lord will build His house. Ephesians 5, for utterance and boldness in speaking the gospel. Matthew 26:41, that we will not enter into temptation. Have you ever thought that your husband or wife and their succumbing to temptation is directly related to your prayers for them? That doors of ministry will be open, Colossians 4, verses 2 through 4. That barren women would be pregnant. That happened with Hannah. It happened with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's wives. All the wives of all of these men, with the exception of Leah. She wasn't barren. Abraham prayed for his son Isaac to have a wife, and he got a wife. 1 Timothy 2, we're to pray for all those in authority, Democrat or Republican. For all men to be saved in 1 Timothy 2:4. For all men in every place to pray, lifting up hands without wrath or dissension. Seems like the Lord knows something about us guys. We just want to stick out our chest so much that it gets in the way of our prayers. For victory in battle, Exodus 17. To be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. For the lives of our little ones in Lamentations 2:19. For alertness and strength to escape the difficult days of the tribulation ahead. See, that's a difficult thing. The difficult thing is the Scripture says that difficult times are coming. So what do our prayers do? Because difficult times are going to continue to come. What do our prayers do? They are prayers to grant us the strength to escape the difficult times. In Mark 14, Jesus prayed that the cup would be removed. Jesus prayed that. If Jesus saw it was necessary to ask, why do we not? But the cup wasn't removed, was it? He went to the cross because that was God's will. Let's pray. Bless your name. Yeah. I thank you for the person of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus. I thank you that the Spirit is of Jesus because Jesus knew you personally, oh God. If there's anybody that could cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, it was Jesus. And that's the Spirit that lives inside of me. And so I bless your name. Sing hallelujahs. So, oh God, make us a praying church. Not because we got to, but because we love you. Because we belong to you. Oh, Father, I pray against all the excuses we make, all the reasons why we don't have time, and I just pray, oh God, you'd show us how you want to reveal yourself to us, and that we would have enough faith to get on our knees before you, to utter prayers of faith, believing you, for no other reason than you said you would. You gave us those words. You told us that. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Are you a prayerless believer today?